Today on Rebooked. As
Dwight said famously, you never suspect the one that you
It's the one you most medium suspect.
It's the one you most medium suspect. Do we most medium suspect Bailey? I don't know. We'll have to see. You have so many good stories right now that intersect into this that it would be kind of crazy not to lean into a triple threat for this when that looks good on a marquee, which I will vote Kevin Owens for president. I will vote
Kevin Owens. I'll vote for Sami Zayn.
I would vote for either one of those guys any day of the week. Show where we talk about the men and women slapping the meat in the middle of the square circle and the stories that they're telling in the process, brother. I'm GB. You got Jake. Matt's not with us this week, but he'll be back with us next week. In any case, though, this, of course, is our Friday show. If you missed our Wednesday show, you should actually go and check it out because it'll be somewhere here. I'll put it in the video thing so you can click it and watch it. That's right. We're getting fancy with it. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, it's just the episode before this where we talked about everything that happened in AEW Grand Slam. But on our Friday show, we like to focus on WWE. And this week, we're doing a few fun things where talking about Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and we're also making the case part two for the Elimination Chamber competitors that we didn't talk about last week. So, Jake, let's go ahead and move on.
Let's do it.
To our first topic of discussion. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, unofficially official, WWE stepping outside of their comfort zone and doing something that we haven't seen in a long time on WWE TV. It's an unsanctioned match in Toronto. Where it started is where it's gonna end. I gotta say this. This wasn't on my card of like what matches I was expecting for Elimination Chamber, but I'm not mad about it. I'm over the moon about this. This is gonna be insane. They're gonna try and murder each other. I can't wait. It's just gonna be entertainment. I'm assuming that's your same reaction too, right?
I am very excited about the potential of two deaths occurring on a pay-per-view event. Yes, it's going to be. I'm very excited about it because I didn't know where it was all going to go. The only bummer, I wish this was happening at WrestleMania, but like I kind of think I know why they're doing this. I did not expect them to do an unsanctioned match. I mean, I don't even know the last time I heard or if I've ever heard the term unsanctioned match in WWE.
Yeah,
because it's kind of like, and I like it. I like it because, now we've pulled the curtain back on a few things within WWE recently with Kevin Owens using a banned move. What has been officially pronounced on air as a move wrestlers are not allowed to do within WWE.
The package pile driver, right?
The package pile driver, or just a pile driver in general, because the one he gave to Randy Orton was just a regular pile driver.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that he's using these moves and that it's being said on air, this is not a move that we've allowed. That's, to me, that's kind of pulling the curtain back. And I like that. It makes it more, it gives it more interesting, more intrigue. It makes it more interesting. Yeah. I like that a lot. And I think what's even better, like to me, this is WWE dipping their toe into the waters of what can we get away with? Maybe not what can we get away with, but like, is there room for these kinds of matches in WWE anymore? And if you were going to pick, people to do it with,
who better?
You're going to pick people who have insane, near perfect chemistry with one another, who have a built-in storyline with one another at any point in their lives. And who are historically two of the safest wrestlers you have in the ring.
Yeah.
Who know each other's limits, know how far they can go. And who made their name on the indies doing stuff like this. Like, this is a perfect chance for WWE to say, all right, if we did this every now and then, is this something that our current audience would welcome?
Yeah.
And that makes me excited. I don't know what they're going to do. I like that's what makes me excited about this is like, I mean, he even said if he wants to wrap a steel chair around your face, he can do it. If he wants to give you a pile driver again and again and again and again and again,
he can do it.
He can do it. So I'm really interested to see how far this is going to go. I don't think we're going to be seeing syringes and, you know, like, but at the same time, I don't know. It feels like we're in uncharted territories with this new WWE as far as what an unsanctioned match could be.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's with these two guys, like, really makes me excited about what we could see in this match at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. It's going to be a very, very, I expect it will probably be one of the most violent matches that WWE has ever done. You know, in a while.
I think it certainly will be one of the most violent we've seen.
Since Attitude Era, Ruthless Aggression.
That was when, because the first one that comes to mind for me is JBL and
Eddie Guerrero. Was it? Yeah.
Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah. Well, he got
in their match. Like, good God.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like, what I assume watching the Terrifiers, like, I don't watch those movies, but I am morbidly intrigued, but I don't want to watch them. That was wild. So I'm really interested to see how this is going to go because the last match, I mean, they've been pushing that envelope a little bit more recently. They, you know, when the stuff with Rock and Cody was going on last year and with the most recent match between Kevin and Cody, you know, of showing blood and being a more violent and taking some more chances and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm I like that they're doing it with these two guys instead of it being like a, you know, hey, I want to get on TV, so I'll bleed, you know, instead of it being something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like Triple H probably went to the two of them and were like, what if we just let the leash off you guys?
And, you know? and also, like, you know, the setting of Toronto is just mm-hmm. Canada in general is just perfect for both of them, right? Considering that they both, like, come from, you know, the region, they have a mm-hmm. very,
our 51st state. They're all there. You know, they were born in our 51st state.
We will not disparage
our
Canadian friends in this show. They can be
elected to president. So. No.
Which I will vote Kevin Owens for president. I will vote
Kevin Owens. I'll vote for Sami Zayn.
I would vote for either one of those guys any day of the week. Yeah. But I definitely am looking forward to that. And it is going to be a great matchup just purely off the fact that these two guys have insane chemistry, the craziest chemistry you could possibly imagine, because they're actual friends, they trust each other, and they know how to tell good wrestling stories in the ring. They've been doing it their entire careers. Seriously, if you ever want to check out more of their amazing crossover, you know, like, look at anything from Ring of Honor that they did. El Generico and Kevin Steen. Iconic shit that happened over there. Some of the stuff that brought me back into wrestling. So, you know, this is going to be a treat. So I'm very much looking forward to it. Last week we did a thing where we had to make the case for each competitor in the Elimination Chamber and why we think they would win. But because Matt isn't here this week, we're going to mix it up a little bit. And this time me and Jake are going to make the case for each competitor in the Elimination Chamber this week. Now, if you're curious about our thoughts on the other competitors, you can check out our Friday episode last week where we spoke about, Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, as well as Bianca Belair. And then on the men's side, we spoke about John Cena, Drew McIntyre, and CM Punk. We gave our case for each one of those. But today, we're going to make the case for the remainder of the Women's Chamber matchup. And those competitors are Bayley, who qualified off of defeating, was it Lyra Valkyria, I want to say?
Bayley, yeah.
Yeah, Bayley defeated Lyra Valkyria. And then we had Naomi, who defeated, oh my goodness, I'm drawing a blank on who Naomi beat in her matchup. Chelsea Green, I think it was Chelsea Green.
Oh, that's right. Yes, it was Chelsea Green, yep.
I was perplexing. And then Roxanne Perez, who just locked in her spot thanks to a run-in from, by the way, the Bring It On outfits for Bianca Belair and
were
Naomi
awesome. Were they were so
tier great. One, bro, tier freaking one. I yeah. was like, that is an excellent look. They came out. That kind of sets up Liv and Raquel in that world. We'll talk about that later. But that is the stage. Bayley, Naomi, and Roxanne Perez, last three competitors. So let's go ahead and start up first with Bayley, who, you know, honestly is coming into this one with, I would say, some fairly legitimate, realistic chances. You know, like, because of who she is. She's Bayley and she is like a fixture. But when you think about who is available to wrestle, we have already locked in our choice. Charlotte Flair has chosen Tiffany Stratton. So it means it's Rhea Ripley who will right now. It's Rhea Ripley.
Yes, right now. It's Rhea Ripley. Yeah.
Cause it could be Io Sky as well, which would be crazy, but stranger things have happened because they're going to be fighting each other relatively soon as well.
Right.
So, Jake, let's make the case.
Isn't it the Monday after Chamber?
It is the Monday after Chamber.
EO and yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So let's make the case.
All right.
Bayley. Can Bayley win the Elimination Chamber? And if she does, how does this play out?
Of course she can win the Chamber. She's Bayley. Okay. Like, this woman's done it all.
Yeah, it's true.
She's the first ever women's tag team champion. You know, she's won multiple world championships. You know, she's won a Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Like, why not have her win a chamber? You know, I could see her absolutely. I think that's an interesting another interesting match. It's kind of like, you know, the present versus the future kind of in a way. I mean, you already have that with Tiffany and Charlotte.
Yeah.
You know, like having these two in a fight against each other, I mean, I think would be, I think that would be a lot of fun. I think it could be really good. I wonder how you kind of build that story up, but I think what you could do is, because one thing that Bayley's been doing a lot recently,
she has,
like,
been.
Last week, you know, she had her qualifying match, then she had a match on Tuesday on NXT.
Fighting for the title, I think, at Vengeance, or if that already passed, I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember one of those two. Yeah. But she also had she's had a run in with just about everybody who's going to be in this chamber. But more recently, Roxanne Perez, she's had some run ins with her down in NXT. So, I think Bayley, I think is. That one's easy. I mean, I could absolutely see Bayley getting in there. I mean, she was in the title match last year.
Yeah.
Against Io Sky.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't see it happening. But if Io beat Rhea the Monday after, and now it's a rematch of Io and Bayley at May, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's different ways you could go with it for sure. But
and I think that's the thing I want to explore, because there. For Bayley, there have been a lot of moments where she has come into the pathway of Rhea Ripley, and every single time she's staring at her belt. Like, I notice those things, and it's a very like obsessive approach that they could potentially take with it. Because when you want to lay out like narratively where Bayley has been since she lost the WWE, you know, Women's Championship, right? She lost the United States championship match, right? She's had some success here and there, but she has been chasing gold, and she has failed to acquire gold every step of the way. So, you know, it's a real easy thing. Bayley's been doing a face run for a while. I think it'll be really easy for her to go bad guy and want to take the belt that she hasn't had a chance to hold yet, which is the Women's World Championship, which I think, you know, honestly, when you think about belts on the show right now, the Women's World Championship is definitely the A belt, you know, because of just Rhea Ripley, but also like the matches that they've had for it, how much more, like, I don't know. Yeah, it definitely gives me that aura. So,
yeah,
you have a real great opportunity there to do something sick with Bayley, but we'll see.
I don't think that she, I think that out of the six women who are in it right now, I'd say she's probably, I would say she's the third most likely to win.
I agree. She's the third most likely to win. And you, as Dwight said famously, you never suspect the one that you
least. It's the one you most medium suspect.
It's the one you most medium suspect. Do we most medium suspect Bailey? I don't know. We'll have to see. Because if she's sitting in third, then I don't know. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on and talk about Naomi.
We're going to have to bookmark this for sure.
I know.
If she ultimately wins, we're going to be like,
what? We're going to be like, we're geniuses. So we have Naomi. So Naomi qualifies by defeating Chelsea Green, a decision that none of us agreed with. I'm going to get this out of the way just so that, you know, as we continue the conversation, people are aware of where my headset's at or where my headset, where my mindset's at. My headset's right here, where my mindset's at. This is all just set up for a tag team match for Liv, Raquel, 100%. Naomi, and yes. And it's going to tie Jade Cargill back in. And there's just going to be a lot of things that happen here. So there's just no world that Naomi's winning. I just don't believe it. But let's go ahead and set up the angle of Naomi winning. I have a thought. And the thought is Naomi
requires fantasy booking, but go ahead.
Oh brother, it requires some fantasy booking. All right. Okay. So the way that this would work out is Naomi goes into the chamber. It comes down to a one-on-one between Bianca and Naomi, because that would be the only like good way that it'll end, right? Between like the two of them being tag champions, and then Naomi gets the one over. And again, you can kind of make the same case for Bianca. We didn't make it last week because Naomi wasn't qualified yet, but this same thing can kind of apply to Bianca because you could just revert, like work it the same way. Naomi wins. Bianca's like, whoa, what the hell? You turned your back on me. Jade Cargill comes up. Jade's like, hey, you know, Naomi was only in here to use you, to use the success, to use the tag titles to get her this opportunity. To which then something happens, they lose the tag belts, and then but how does Rhea Ripley fit into all of this? I mean, she can kind of just be like the, you know, outside looking in. Maybe you can even get Bianca involved in the matchup. But that would be the only way that I would see her winning is that pathway. But yeah, what do you think?
I think if Naomi were to win, there's got to be a heel turn. Personally, I feel like because I long suspected that she might have something to do with Jade's injury, which now we've seen that it was Liv and Raquel,
which I didn't like that, by the way.
I didn't either. But that still doesn't mean that Naomi's not involved.
True.
It could have been I'll get her out of the picture.
Yeah.
It could have been something like that. And that's where you have a built in like, OK, you know, Naomi versus Bianca. And that's kind of a focus in the elimination chamber. Or maybe it comes out of that. Right. Maybe that's something that comes out later that, you know, hey, she had her opportunity. But like you said, she used you. I don't really see that happening. Like the unfortunate part about all of this is of the six women in this chamber match, I think you can automatically count out three of them.
Yeah. I think so too.
And to me, it's Naomi, Bianca, and Liv Morgan.
Yeah.
Because it does seem like we're telegraphing
a little too obvious
tag match at WrestleMania, which is what I would assume.
I am not all that bothered by, because I think it's going to be great. And I think that this will be really good for Liv and Raquel, especially considering that, you know, like the girls would have to deal with Judgment Day, which probably means that like Dom gets involved in some capacity. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, that can give Jade Cargill more fuel to be like, hey, you lost us the belts, Naomi. Like, Naomi should take the pin as well, because that would be like the best way that would go, right. You know, to like pin it on Naomi. I don't know. There are a few directions, but I definitely agree with you on that. And that is the unfortunate part. But, you know, if there is a world that Naomi were to win, more than likely the pathway would be something involving Bianca Belair that would like weave Rhea as like a third party almost into the plot. But more of like an observer rather than a participant, which I think would be very fascinating, because that is an interesting triple threat match of like a person who's like, I'm not involved in any of this drama, you know, but yet they're still in the matchup with them, you know? So like inadvertently, they're still swept up in the drama. I don't know. It could be fascinating. I'm wondering
if there's a world in which because I don't know the status of Jade Cargill, and that's not the kind of thing obviously that we talk about here, but like, I'm wondering if there's some sort of world where Naomi can lose her place in the chamber. You know, through
that is,
you know, I don't know.
We got time. So that is possible. We have time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move forward with the last qualifier for the Elimination Chamber. And look, I think
this is an intriguing option.
I know. And I'm just going to say this right now before I show the picture. I looked up pictures on the WWE website and grabbed the best pictures I can grab. And this was the only picture of Roxanne Perez on the WWE website right now. I like to use official imagery. I could have gone to NXT, but I didn't have time. And I know people are going to say, sure, GB. And it's fine. I get it. But Roxanne Perez.
G stands for Gooner.
This right here, you know what, just to save us time, there we go. The Prodigy.
Oh, that initial zoom in was it? Yeah, the Prodigy. I think this one's very intriguing. I mean, my case for her winning, like we talked about in our last show with AEW of striking when the iron's hot, right? I don't know if it's 100% hot yet.
Yeah.
For Roxanne, but her winning this on top of being the Iron Woman for the Royal Rumble would skyrocket her. I think she would immediately skyrocket in popularity.
Yeah.
My fiance Shauna has not seen anything of Roxanne Perez until the Rumble.
Yeah.
And when she came out and watched her, she was like, oh, who is this? I like her a lot. And she actually was excited and cheered when she won an Elimination Chamber spot. I think Roxanne, she's a future star. We already know that. But the fact that she was still technically in NXT and was the Iron Woman for the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Now to have her come in, we have three people who potentially can all just be so concerned and involved with each other that they're she just going to take each other out, that she could sneak in and sneak a win.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's kind of like a little bit her thing right now. She's quicker. She's smarter. She's, you know, sneakier. But she's just got this great aura. She's great in the ring. She's great on the mic. We know she's a future star. I am all for strapping a rocket to a future star and giving them that opportunity and seeing, I mean, obviously they trust her.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think it would be super interesting, to have her versus
and look, Rhea. I'll be honest with you. When you look at the six women that are in the matchup, it doesn't feel far-fetched.
No.
It doesn't feel far-fetched because, as you had mentioned, we already know the three of these competitors are going to be drawn into each other. Now, the ripple is going to be Roxanne and Bayley, I expect, will be an interaction. And if I had to imagine, Bayley, one of them are going to eliminate each other, right? One way or another. How that chip falls, I don't know. But I could see that being the last fight. I could see Roxanne Perez like surviving because that was the thing that I really liked about the match she had with Raquel. And I think that that was the best possible match. It honestly made both of them look phenomenal. Because Raquel Rodriguez is already, you know, like plays the big man character so well and was just throwing her around, was brute forcing everything and was working out so well. But Roxanne Perez, she's so good at understanding her size. So like she wrestles in a way that is quite complementary to like her size. So she's always like thinking of maneuvers that incorporate her size. And Roxanne Perez, in the similar aspect, incorporates moves in the same way. So it was like a brilliant display of both of their abilities and what they're both capable of. So that aside, I thought was really great. But then on the other side of that, too, I thought Roxanne Perez showed that she can get the crowd on her side really quickly because of that. Like, you know, she's a smaller wrestler. She's got that never can die attitude. She fucking calls herself the Prodigy. Like it's you got to have a certain amount of like ego to do that. And she like owns that. So, yeah, I'm excited for her. it is a real possibility that she wins the Elimination Chamber. And I think she does it over Bayley. If she wins it, she wins it over Bayley.
Oh, I think, I definitely see that.
But yeah, that's, okay. Well, there you have it.
I mean, I think this is what my likelihood looks like to win the women's.
Okay, so for our audio listeners, go for it.
I think least likely, Naomi and Bianca.
Okay.
Mostly because of that. I have Liv at number two, which I know we talked about her probably not, but if we look at history and we look at, I mean,
a case can easily be made, and I don't disagree
because it's Rhea Ripley, you know. So I'll put her there. I'd say Roxanne is fourth most likely. Bayley is three. I think Alexa Bliss is winning it though.
You know, I thought that too, but I can't help but think like, did you see her most recent like interview promo thingy where she like showed up and was talking? I forget to who she was talking to.
The
Wyatt Six stuff started popping up. That's the thing that holds me off from saying that Alexa Bliss will win, because I don't want Rhea Ripley versus another team again. I'm tired of that. We already did that. So if we do Rhea Ripley versus another team,
have basically been faces.
Exactly. So that's why I don't really know if you're going that route and you're already incorporating Alexa into that team and their faces, then I don't really know if that is going to be, I don't disagree that it'll be a banger WrestleMania match and it'll be a stadium level WrestleMania match without a doubt. It's just, I don't know if narratively that is like where they are. It feels like it's going to be Bayley or Roxanne Perez. That's what it feels like for me.
I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm good either way.
I mean, look, I'm in. Let's move on to the men's elimination chamber. So just like we did last week, we talked about the three competitors that already qualified, which, of course, was John Cena, Drew McIntyre, and CM Punk. We each gave the case for this one. And now we have Logan Paul, Damian Priest, and Seth Rollins. So let's just get it out of the way and just be done with it. So we could just, and I'll be honest with you, there's a possibility that Logan Paul wins the Elimination Chamber. How he does it, I mean, it's Logan Paul, so you probably would expect him to use brass knuckles and cheat or do something silly. I know this goes against the game. I just don't think he has a snowball's chance in hell of winning. They would be crazy to have him fight Cody at WrestleMania. Crazy. Right?
I won't even entertain the thought.
but you know what, though? If you really wanted someone to boo and cheer Cody, yes, Logan Paul is the guy.
The only case that I can make for it being Logan Paul is he has 6.8 million followers on Twitter.
Yeah.
He's a name.
Yeah.
As much as we may not like it, he's a name.
He's a name. Yeah.
Is he a draw? I feel too biased to answer that.
You know, honestly, though, really putting bias aside, I don't know if people are buying tickets to a wrestling show to go watch Logan Paul. But I know people are watching the clips of Logan Paul, which is more of his value to them than
it's a better way to stomach Logan Paul anyway.
It is
in small.
It is because his whole thing is he is a bad guy, so he's going to get booed. So not really gonna, if you like Logan Paul, you're not gonna like show up and cheer for Logan Paul because everyone's gonna look at you like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, like it's not gonna be like the best. I don't know. I might be thinking too much into it.
But I also, even if you put him in that match, I just don't I don't see any world.
Yeah.
Where he wins.
Yeah, it's a hard one. This is a hard one. But if he were to win,
I mean, win the championship.
Win the title. Yeah,
okay. That's what I mean. I don't see any world where he does that, because, and that's why I don't really think that he's going to win.
Yeah.
Elimination Chamber. He's there to be a foil. He's there to get booed.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally why he's there.
And
he's
also there
because he gets a reaction.
He gets a reaction.
And we always hear time and time again that that's the only point of wrestling.
Yeah.
Is to get a reaction.
And I would suspect that CM Punk is probably going to be the one that eliminates him. Because they've been having some interesting run-ins. So we'll see how that plays out for sure. But let's move over to Damian Priest. So Damian Priest is most definitely been like, I like what they're doing with him on Raw. On SmackDown. I like how it's like, oh, you know, I'm here to do my thing. I'm here to take over, and, you know, no gangs, no groups, nothing. I'm just here to do it on my own. I like that. Could Damian Priest win? Without a doubt. Would it be a sick match, him and Cody, for the title? 100%. It will be very difficult for that reality to come to fruition. But if we were to plan it, I would say he would more than likely win by going over probably like a CM Punk or one of the legends. He'd have to like beat one of the notable names.
Right.
So that this way it's like, oh shit, Damian Priest is like in it, right? That being said, what I actually do see happening is Logan Paul eliminating Damian Priest because of something happening. Because that's like a really easy way for them to get Priest out of the match. But yeah, if he were to win, I would probably say it would be through going over a legend in like in an epic matchup that kind of like King makes him as like another, as like a new, you know, guy. Right. So it would have to be CM Punk or John Cena. He would have to go over. I feel like in order for it to have the most impact, Seth Rollins as well. Seth Rollins does count for sure in that thing. What do you have? Right. I see you writing.
I did a ranking for the other one, so I'm doing a ranking for this.
I like where your head's at.
Of who I think is the most likely. But yeah, Priest is another tough one too. I mean, it's I think that. Oh, man. I mean.
Not impossible.
It's not impossible. I just don't know. I don't know what the story is there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. And especially and I just happened to see a little thing on Twitter today Michael Cole was actually on Logan Paul's podcast today.
Oh, fun.
I think. And his quote from it was that that WWE is placing importance on storytelling, and that was a large reason why Netflix partnered with them, was because that they're also in the business of storytelling. And so because they're wanting to focus on that, you know, that makes me think that Priest is less likely to go forward, because I just don't know the story. And it's not to say that Priest isn't worthy of being in that spot or capable of doing. I mean, we've seen him in that spot and he will be there again. I don't know.
Yeah. If it's right now,
I don't know what the story is for him. And
yeah, it's a tough sell.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I couldn't agree more. It's going to be a hard one just because of who's in the match, the stories that were told prior. And I will say that is kind of something that is hurting WWE a little bit, because yes, they are focusing a lot on stories, but they are kind of telegraphing things a little too much. And it's getting to the point where it's like, you know, I'm actually kind of appreciating AEW's, you know, more haphazard things from time to time, right? Mm-hmm. Where WWE is very like, structured, and I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like it, but I also like a little bit of looseness as well. You know, I don't want it to feel like I'm watching a soap opera, even though I know I'm watching a soap opera, right? You gotta
fool me a little bit.
Yeah. Fool me a little bit. Yeah. You know, like kayfabe exists in some capacity. Yeah. Okay. Well, that is Damian Priest. Let's see. How long do we have here? Okay, great. Let's go ahead and move on to a person who is a genuine competitor in this matchup. Seth freaking Rollins, who went over on Finn Balor in a great matchup. Man, that was,
oh my God,
freaking,
that was a great match. I mean, like, and it, I thought Finn had a chance.
For I thought
a
Finn was going to win.
Was going over. Yeah. I was like, oh my God. I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah. I thought Finn was going to win. Even how he pulled out the stump was like, great.
Oh yeah.
Like the desperation, like he pulled him from the roll up and then he like caught him, just ran to the ropes and then bam, nailed him with the stomp immediately. Like those guys tore the house down, man.
Man, it was beautiful.
They were great.
I'm waiting for that moment of Finn's got to hold the title again one more time. And I'm waiting for when that's
they're building it, man. They're building it because, you know, you can kind of see what they want here with, like, you know, follow Finn and you'll win, you know, the Judgment Day storyline, Liv Morgan clearly being a conniving individual that's looking to throw Finn under the bus. Like,
you think they do add a new member?
I think they do. I think they do, because that, if they're saying that now, then I think that they are going to add a new member. Who that is, I don't quite know. But
Who do you think? You know, there's someone with a dark aesthetic who just got released from another company recently who's dying to go back to WWE.
Maybe a little Aleister Black.
Maybe Aleister Black.
That actually, where he kind of brings Judgment Day back to its roots. It was, instead of this like nerdy gang, like biker gang kind of gimmick. I wouldn't mind that, because I think that they do want to keep Judgment Day as a brand around. Kind of saw what it did for Bullet Club, like, and how long that's been around for. And New Japan's, I mean, look, have they used up the brand? For sure. But now that the Bloodline is kind of, you know, taking a sidestep, you can really lean into the Judgment Day faction a little bit more. I don't know. And they've been around for a while. So,
yeah, I mean, they could be revamped. I mean, right now they feel like, you know, the teenagers in the Foot Clan hideout in the Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah, they really do.
Is how they feel.
Playing their video games and stuff like
exactly,
that.
Exactly.
Eating their chicken nuggies.
Yeah. There's cigarettes on a tray.
That's so
regular
funny.
Menthol.
Yeah. So let's talk about
Sam Rockwell, by the way. That's who that was. Sam Rockwell.
Ah, okay.
I don't know if you remember that. Who was the guy showing him around?
Really?
In the Ninja Turtles movie. Yes.
In the original one.
In the original Ninja Turtles movie, Sam Rockwell's the guy who's showing them around the hideout.
Oh shit. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Okay, the more you know. Today I learned.
Yeah,
I gotta watch the old Ninja Turtles movie again.
We all should.
I know, right? Well, let's make the case for Seth Rollins here, real quick. I think, you know, this is a fairly easy one considering the history that Cody and him have. I wouldn't mind it. I actually think it would be very good.
I think it would be incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean. We have history between the two of them. Seth basically helped Cody win. I mean, not basically, he did. He helped Cody win the title that he holds now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, and Seth is dying to be the guy, you know, he's dying to be the guy again. And, I think it would be great. I think
a desperate Seth Rollins wanting to be the guy to take the belt away from the person who he helped win it.
I was given the reins before you were.
Yeah.
I was the guy. I was Triple H's guy. And then you came in here and got handed all this shit. And not only did you get handed it, but I helped hand it to you.
You know what's still lingering for me, man? It's CM Punk's favor with Paul Heyman, because I know that, like, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but like, how, because if Seth were to win, and then I think a triple threat between CM Punk, Seth, and Cody would be crazy. That would be crazy if they were to pull that off, because there's a really good story that you can tell there of three desperate men wanting, you know, CM Punk wanting the belt and main eventing WrestleMania, Seth Rollins wanting to be the guy, Cody holding on to being the guy. You could do it and it would be sick. And then, yeah. but then it's also like, but then I forget about John Cena. And it's like, there's also that John Cena story too. Oh, what do you do, Jake?
Here's who I think is most likely to win in order. First, Logan Paul is number six.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Okay. He's the lowest. Number five, I think, is Damian Priest.
Yeah.
All right. Fourth most likely, Drew McIntyre.
Okay.
Okay. Third, Seth Rollins.
Okay. Rollins. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Number two, John Cena. I mean, you can't see him. And then number one is CM Punk. I think that's the order.
Yeah.
Of most likely to least likely to win the chamber. That's what I would say.
I do agree on CM Punk. He didn't win the Rumble. I was very much convinced.
Like you said, it's the favor that lingers.
Yeah, it's the favor that lingers. It's the favor that lingers. Cause like, what was it? What was it that he asked for? What was it that he gets out of this? You know, like,
right.
And I like the idea.
And who said it had anything to do with Roman?
And I'll be honest with you. I like the idea of, cause you know, John Cena, a veteran throwing his weight around, puts himself in the matchup, still loses. That story kind of teeters off elsewhere, but it is still going to be compelling. Right. But CM Punk loses, Seth Rollins wins. And then CM Punk asserts his power of the situation. And remember, this actually could happen. Holy fuck. I actually think this could happen because
if Cena wins and then Punk tries to get in and that's Punk, Cena. And
yeah, either way, I think Punk is going to try and insert himself into the WWE title picture at Mania. Mm-hmm. But it is more it's compelling if he does it with Cena, but it's more compelling if he does it with Seth. And the reason why it's more compelling with Seth is because he had an option, Seth Rollins, to help out the bloodline going into that event, going into War Games. He had the choice. They reached out to him. They asked him. He could have taken advantage. He could have asked for the favor. He could have gotten something back, but he held to his morals. And he was like, no, I'm not going to help you. Why would I help you achieve something when I had to take this away from you to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
And then in comes CM Punk, swoops in, has no history with this, doesn't care, takes the favor, does what he wants. And then if he loses, he inserts himself. And now you have Seth Rollins, who's like pissed off that this guy, this jerk, like just inserts himself into this matchup off of a decision that happened months ago.
Yeah.
I think it would be kind of cool.
I mean, but see, you can also do that. Like,
you could do it with Cena, though. You could do it with Cena.
You could do it with Cena, too, because especially like what kind of journey are we going on with Cena? You know, I've talked about wanting to see him be a little more heelish, and he's done that a little bit, throwing his weight around. But now can you imagine one of his biggest rivals has now inserted himself in his way of achieving history?
Dude, that's what I'm telling
and
you.
What can that do to Cena?
It's got
to
be a triple mentally. Threat. This whole time, I have been saying that this Mania, the WWE Championship, will be for a triple threat. The reason why was because you had this epic one-on-one confrontation. It was so great. And you really felt this desire to hold the belt and Cody wanting to finish the story. And it worked so well. But you have so many good stories right now that intersect into this that it would be kind of crazy not to lean into a triple threat for this when that looks good on a marquee, because you'll have a triple threat match for your championship. You'll have a singles matchup, right? Jey Uso and Gunther would, you know, like headline for the singles aspect of it.
I mean, could the favor be quid pro quo? Could it be, hey, if during this match Roman were to help me take the title off of Cody, I'd give Roman a shot.
Yeah. So I think we are on the page, though. I think we are on the same page. It's somehow, some way.
The favor is
CM Punk is going to be in this match.
Yes. I agree 100%.
It just makes
it's just how too much and sense. Who's the other? Who's the third man?
If there is a third man,
it's
and
the
if,
new who's the third man?
But man, John Cena now actually fascinating is a John Cena CM Punk that they're just overlooking Cody because he's the young champion. And mm-hmm. these two guys don't like each other. And they've been dealing mm-hmm. with each other for months, for years, for a year. Oh, brother, it would be so good to make this Mania season about John Cena and CM Punk. Two guys mm-hmm. who like defined an era of WWE.
On his last WrestleMania, he's in the main event. They are finally, CM Punk is finally in the main event of WrestleMania. John Cena in his final main event of WrestleMania.
I think Cody Rhodes, who is desperately trying to hold on to his title. Holy crap. If this happens, I would be so over the moon. But honestly, I'm in no matter what. I think like even if Drew were to win, that would be exciting. I'm in for Drew. If Damian Priest, Logan Paul, less so.
I am happy for five of the six men in this.
Lots to dive into. Lots to sink your teeth
Watch
into.
Next week, though, because next week we'll have our full predictions for Elimination Chamber.
That's right. That's right. Because
Matt will hopefully be back.
Yep.
He's on assignment in the Sudan.
Yeah.
That's not true. Next week.
Yeah.
Next Friday, a week from today, we will be giving our full predictions.
It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. Now that we made the case, so we, of course, want to hear from you. Who do you think is going to win the men's or the women's Elimination Chamber? Sound off in the comments down below. And by the way, big shout out to everyone last week. For dropping the wrestler emojis. I should have done that again. So if you happen to make it this part into the show and you hear these words, please drop, let's do like a smiley face emoji or something like that. That'd be really nice if you can. What would be a fun one? Add a better one. What would be a better one? An eggplant.
Let's see.
I don't know.
Well, I mean.
How about some meat?
Meat. Drop an emoji of some meat.
Drop like some meat.
Wing or something.
Yeah.
Drop
some meat in the comments.
In the comments.
We got to do that. Every episode. Drop your meat in the comments if you want. Okay, there you go. All right. Well, of course, that takes us to our final segment. It's a new segment. And this one, shout out to our editor, Scan, for making the graphic. It is... Jake Retro Ribbage.
I love it. That's right. Each week for the next now I guess it'll be 10 weeks, we are opening a pack of WCW trading cards from 1991 that I found in my old closet at my dad's house over Christmas. And join our Discord if you want to help choose which pack. I have numbered all of these packs. I've put numbers on all these packs. I've kept them on there. And if you go into the episode spoilers channel in our Discord, you can vote on which pack I'm opening. This week, the vote was won by Lucky Number 7.
Oh, there you go. And here's our episode spoilers channel if you want to find
There you go.
All right. Lucky number seven.
Lucky number seven won this week. So that's what we're opening. Here we go. The next delicious pack.
Oh, man. I'm excited.
WCW playing cards. All right. Here we go. Starting off with Sid Vicious.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's
right. Yeah. Gotta love a good Sid Vicious. Think we have one of his. Oh wow, we got another Ric Flair popular card in here. I think that's about the fourth Ric Flair card that I've gotten out of this out of these packs. As are the Southern Boys.
Wow,
the Southern Boys, a staple of WCW.
Truly were. Who would have thought? Damn.
Wow, here's just a checklist card. Look how many freaking Steiner Brothers and Fabulous Freebird cards and
Ricky Morton.
Ricky Morton,
You should check them off.
I'll do that. That's just for 95 through 162.
Wow. Oh my
apparently there's three Jim Ross cards somewhere that we haven't found yet.
Oh, dude, we got to find the hidden JR.
Here we go. Here's another Arn Anderson.
Nice. Okay.
All right. another Flying Brian.
Cool.
I feel like a lot of these are just going to be repeats because of Doom.
Well, because they have so many of the same wrestler,
yeah,
but different poses and because different.
Guess what? Here comes another Elegante. Another Elegante.
God, shoe size 21. That's crazy, though.
Another Flying Brian.
Oh, that's cool.
Favorite hold, flying body press.
Love it.
Here we got a Steiner Brothers again.
Okay, we got a good Steiner Brothers.
This one in particular was Rick Steiner.
Okay, not bad. A little backdrop as well. A little history about him.
We got another Sid Vicious. Favorite hold, power bomb.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. Good move.
Finally, Ricky Morton.
Look at that, Ricky Morton.
That's right. Favorite hold, the figure four.
We got to see what are cards that have been duplicated, so and then start keeping track of that so we can know when we got a new card in. You know, yeah. We definitely got to do that for next week. That is okay. Well, there you have it. That is
the most unique card we got this week was the checklist.
That's right. And that was Jake's retro rippage. I had to do it again.
Of course.
Oh, man. All right, folks. So that is going to do it.
You got to use them, man.
Exactly. Huge shout out to Scan for making that one happen. But that is going to do it for us here today. Overall, you know, looking forward to Elimination Chamber. A lot of directions that we can go in for these title matches at WrestleMania. And next week, we'll be giving our full thoughts on our predictions, what we think, who is definitively going to win at Elimination Chamber as the card continues to unfold. There have been some cool matches announced already, like the Young Sanction match on top of the Chamber matches. I would assume we're probably going to get one more. Don't know what that would be. Maybe a tag team match of some kind. We'll find out. Perhaps maybe, you know, they can go with, what was it? Oh my gosh. What the heck? They just came back. They attacked DIY. Oh my gosh. Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins. Street Profits. Yeah, I don't know why I was drawing a blank on their name, but yes. Street Profits, maybe they come into the fray. I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot. So
a lot of options.
But anyway, that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. We'll catch you on Wednesday for our Wednesday show. Make sure if you happen to like this, you give it a like, you share down below your thoughts on the episode. You can also join us on Discord and you can find a description for all of that and more down below. Thank you so much for watching, folks. Catch you next Wednesday. Peace. Later.